当然，可是他他东西东北一些的毛多不一样，那这个大神，可以找啊大神，得帮土买嘞，得帮忙帮买，那牛毛不帮土买嘞，得嘛帮的牛毛不帮忙的呢，那可以动啊了这土买嘞是，就是那可以动啊了这些电力电话投源的，他把他他们就基本搞搞投保了，大神买了不帮过过嘞是，他大神买了不的帮下来，第一年不的搞的是呢。东北人都不落来，实际上东北人都不落定了这个，他的公公过来啥些，你地地过来学些，对呢？那对呢？也东北人都不落的多呀，给菜多呢，那可能穷过来了，对啊，这个干啥？但电器这话就过，就在三大电器也三大，电器也三大呢，电当然对的，我这个可以的，可以去干那些呢，可以来对比给他南端。那你是隔天以为呢？吃上先吃了对的猪扒鸡多一点。那你刚来马对包上我们的猪扒东北的，那东北多土过来些。今天咱那个店里去，咱们大家东北也多过来些。我看上他给你的第一个上就叙述。
Good morning. Yesterday we continued to look at the need to cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness.To cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness is absolutely crucial because it is the ignorance of self-grasping that is the root cause of our remaining bound in the suffering realms of samsara. It is because we are overwhelmed by the afflictions which all arise from the ignorance of self-grasping that from lifetime to lifetime we've remained bound in these suffering realms. And without developing the wisdom realizing emptiness,which is the direct antidote to the ignorance of self-grasping, we cannot eradicate it, And therefore, we will remain, life after life, bound in the suffering realms of samsara, experiencing problems and sufferings and difficulties, one upon the other. We also looked yesterday at the measure of having achieved the wisdom realizing emptiness,And that is through first reflecting that all phenomena are dependent arisings, including the paths that we cultivate in order to attain liberation. All phenomena are dependent arisings, and therefore they are empty of inherent existence. So when these two realizations come together, we can say, or when the one induces the other directly, that is the measure of havingcultivated the correct view. So yesterday we looked at this in terms of the need to develop the wisdom realizing emptiness, how to do so, and the measure of having done so. The measure then, just to repeat, the measure of having completed one's attainment of the correct view is that when on one hand one is meditates on a particular phenomenon, on any phenomenon, and comes to realize that it is empty of inherent existence. It doesn't exist by way of its own nature at all. And that realization immediately induces the realization that, and therefore it is a dependence arising. In other words, the wisdom realizing the emptiness of inherent existence induces the wisdom realizing dependence arising. And conversely, when one reflects that everything that appears to consciousness is a dependence arising, dependence on causes or an imputation by mind or parts or mutually dependent, everything that appears to consciousness is a dependence arising, and therefore it is empty of inherent existence. So here too, the preceding realization immediately induces the latter realization. They are sequential like this. Here, the only difference is the prior realization was dependent arising, and that induces the realization of the wisdom realizing emptiness. And in the first sentence, it was rather first one realizes emptiness, and that then induces the realization of dependent arising. One realizes in both ways. The initial realization assists or immediately induces the second realization. And when that occurs, one's cultivation of the view is complete. We'll continue now in the text with the 13th verse, and this presents the middle ways approach, or the Madhyamaka's approach, to the two extremes. Appearance eliminates the extreme of existence. Also, emptiness eliminates the extreme of non-existence. And when you understand the manner in which causes and effects arise from within emptiness, you will no longer be robbed by the views of grasping at extremes. To say that something is of the middle way, it implies clearly that there are things to either side of it. If you're going down the middle, there's something on either side. Without there being something on either side, one cannot be in the middle. Now, context of the middle way view, this is the middle way view is between two extremes, one on either side. Hence, it traverses the middle way between two extremes. But to express that differently, the middle way eradicates both extremes.
Tajibu de Nebina, Gima Chagomara, Tajibu de Lenny, Tanya de Langa, Yebe Tata, Meta said, Chebe, because Tata Cheta Sigma, 답해 타다 체비 타. 제단 따타레 되어 있나? 기만 되고 말 답해 굽게 하죠 되어 집어로 와. 제단 체다 되려냐 봐 있나? 한 기만 되고 말 굽게 지 되어 봐 집어. 제단 단 우유랍도 따타대랑 당 마되어 봐지 체다레 미네 봐. 따타레 마네 봐. 디 기만 될 봐 되긴 삼땅엔 될다. 우메람 우마식으로 와. 우메람식으로 와.
We think of three chairs, one in front, one behind. If there is one in front and there's one behind, then there will be one in the middle. And whoever's sitting in the one in the middle will not be sitting on the chair in the front or the chair behind. That's quite clear. And it works the same here with asserting that a view is of the middle way. It is between two other views. And those two other views are, can be expressed differently, either the extreme of existence and the extreme of nihilism, sorry, the extreme of existence and the extreme of non-existence, or the extreme of existence can be expressed as the extreme of rarefication or the extreme of permanence. So the extreme of existence and the extreme of rarefication are synonymous, or the extreme of non-existence and the extreme of nihilism. So they are synonymous. The middle way is in the middle between the extremes of existence and non-existence, or, to express it differently, the middle way is between the extremes of nihilism and the extreme of rarefication. What is the meaning of the extreme of rarefication or the extreme of permanence? It means that something exists by way of its own nature or essence. So therefore, it's to say something is rarefied or exists is the extreme of rarefication means that it is established by way of its own essence or nature. In other words, it's truly existent. On the other hand, then, the extreme of nihilism means that something is non-existent. It is completely non-existent. So again, the extreme of rarefication or the extreme of permanence means that something exists by way of its own nature. It's established by way of its own nature or essence. And on the other hand, the extreme of nihilism means that something does not exist at all. It's completely non-existent.
Rang when you do a yore, said the call killing to your war. で、もうそれ経験で、からその経験でやんのこの準備してさんだ経験これ。やんな、この準備が、ま、だでにけ接触状態で、ディガレス経験で、もうそれ経験で、経験こんだ、何でもや、こんだよ。で、にし、こんだ、やばいな。だって考えて、だったらねばれ、だべたらねばれ、それ。で、ぱちょで、ランウンドとか経験ぐわれ、それだか。
Someone who is not seated on the middle chair, but at one of the extremes, they, if they hold the view that is from the perspective of someone of the middle way, if they hold the view of the extreme of existence, that the extreme of verification, they intentionally believe that phenomena exist in the way that they appear. The extreme of existence, I already mentioned previously, is that there's the belief that phenomena are established by way of their own essence or nature. But so this is how phenomena spontaneously appear to us, how phenomena naturally do appear to us. But for this to be, the view to be one of the extreme of existence, the person needs to have intentionally, consciously accepted that phenomena exist by way of their own nature. So there will be someone who holds a particular philosophical tenet that believes that phenomena have their own defining characteristic or essence or nature, and this is what establishes them as existing. And therefore, they're grasping at phenomena as existing in the way they appear is acquired. Acquired meaning, it's acquired independence on a view.
Na chebe thadi rangu ngone maru ba na ko meba cha ru ko tawi na meba cha ge meba cha ya di meba di cheda cha ko ro da stan da cheda le ni le du ha di ya ga la ma rangu ngone maru ba na che cha tan tawi na yo ma re san be sam lo tan ba na che tham che ga ya min du san be sam tan ba na di ga sa di da cheda le ne ba le so de da ko ga sa di gi 确肯定是那早已经有妈的干，确看有妈的三百呢，但干啥的，吃他的那把的是。哎，滚到一百，滚到七个了，有妈的是肯定就是我干啥，但是很紧巴的，干啥可容易，肯定的确他们就在干呀，有妈的是没肯定把呢，等你上当完的干啥的，打的吃他的那把的是。The
second extreme. So the middle way, the second extreme from the view, from the perspective of the middle way proponent is the extreme of non-existence or the extreme of nihilism. So this is a person then that again intentionally believes that phenomena do not exist at all, that phenomena are completely non-existent. And this, both of these extremes are acquired views. In other words, they have been intentionally adopted in dependence on tenets, as opposed to innate views, a natural way, an uncontrived way of thinking. So both of these, to hold either extreme view, and again that these are extreme from the view of the middle way, to hold either of them is something that has come about intentionally. They are acquired views.
And then, the woman never levy, the woman never levy, Chisada, Chetamje, Rangun, when you drupa said, yeah, your mares, Rangun, drupa, yes, a came a lembache, that Dakha than Tower, Rangun, drupa says, oh, do your mares, Eddie, Chidu, Dakha than Tower, Rangun, drupa, your mares, killing your war. That in it, Chetamje, meba ya mares, Shangela, Dune, Gien, the Guda, Gien, Shangela, Dune, your is a killing you, Chetana Tower, Chisan. 第二个，他刚来嘛，都让我们的主播要买的，让我们的要买的，早给你买吧买的，那肯定是要的，是新鲜的，对的要的，是的，什么东西都，第二个领域的，我们起码的那个玩意儿，大概是，可能是让我们的主播开领给我们玩，让我们的主播的要买的，是的，开领吧，这样，大大的明年吧的，那去肯定是新鲜的，对的要的，是开领吧，这样。 마다 마집에서나 신을 뛰네 파루 샤바즈미 요바레 선비 네네기 켈린디 다 우메기 람노 기마디 켈링이 지자 네네기 삼당에 람데 우메 람세오라
The view of nihilism and the view of reification are extremes from the viewpoint of the middle way proponent. The middle way proponent has a view between these two extremes. They do not accept that phenomena are truly existent, and therefore they do not embrace or accept the extreme of existence or reification. Similarly, the middle way proponent does not accept that phenomena are completely non-existent. And therefore, the middle way proponent does not accept the extreme of nihilism. Rather, the middle way proponent believes that when one investigates, when one seeks the phenomenon, seeks it to see if it exists in the way that it appears by way of its own essence, nothing is found. It is empty of existing in the way that it appears. But that does not mean it doesn't exist at all. Rather, it exists as a mere dependent arising, particularly a dependence on imputation by mind. So therefore, the middle way proponent asserts that phenomena are not truly existent, so therefore they reject the extreme of existence, because in their search, they find it's empty of inherent existence. But moreover, they therefore don't say it doesn't exist at all, which would mean they would be embracing the other extreme of nihilism. They say it does exist when one doesn't search, but how so? Merely imputed by mind onto that basis. So this is how the proponent of the Madhyamaka view, the middle way view, moves between or abides between these two extremes.
And the Meta said, Jebachine, Gagores, Longa, Gagores, Chesa, Gadahagos, Shan, Lutin, Duas, and Yoba, the Hagor, then Tombany Hagor, and the Gala, Gala, Rangun, Juba, Yore, Juba, Palonga, Gagores, Chesa, Tombany, Yeta, the Gagor, Yeta, Sigore, Yubeta, Ranshin, Juba, the Sigore, Longa. That Tianjin Tao Chung Toyo, Tianjin Tamo Toyo, Meta Sigore, Mindu Sadi, Pagaji, Yoba, the Hagotore, Chesan Tombany Tobegi, and Yeta Se, then Jabaji, Tianjin Toyo, Topi Tamaki, Meta Sigore, Chesan Longa, Chesan Deniki, the Umilam, the Gigore, One
has to eradicate both extremes, or not fall into either extremes, not accept either extreme. So how is this done? So first, just to remind ourselves, what is meant by the extreme of existence and the extreme of non-existence. The extreme of existence means that one believes that phenomena exist by way of their own essence or nature, and therefore are truly existent. The extreme of non-existence means that one believes that phenomena do not exist at all. They are completely non-existent. These, to hold either of these views needs to be intentional, and therefore they are acquired. So how then would an aspirant to abide in the middle of these two extremes, eradicate these two extremes? And it's through the techniques that we've heard about thus far. First of all, through cultivating the wisdom realizing emptiness, one eradicates the extreme of existence. How so? When one realizes that phenomena are empty of existing by way of their own essence, when they are empty of being established in the way that they appear, one realizes that they are empty and therefore not truly existent, and then therefore one doesn't fall into the extreme of the extreme of existence. So in brief, the realization of emptiness eradicates the extreme of existence. Then the extreme of non-existence. Here, when one recognizes that whilst phenomena are empty of existing by way of their own nature, all impermanent phenomena arise in dependence on causes and conditions, as well as requiring imputation by mind, and permanent phenomena too are dependent arisings. They are dependent on imputation by mind. So therefore, it's not that phenomena do not exist at all, despite being empty of existing by way of their own nature. They exist as dependent arisings. In brief, dependent on imputation by mind. So therefore, in this way, the proponent of the middle way view, or the holder of the middle way view, eradicates the extreme of non-existence, because they realize that whilst phenomena don't exist by way of their own essence, they are non-existent by way of their own essence, they exist as a mere imputation by mind. Just briefly then to repeat what I've just mentioned. The middle way proponent eliminates the extreme of existence through the realization of emptiness. Because it's through realizing that phenomena are empty of true existence that one does not believe that they exist truly, which is the extreme of existence. Likewise, through realizing dependent arising, that phenomena exist, but as dependent arisings, one eradicates the extreme of non-existence, because one is not believing that phenomena do not exist at all. Rather, one understands that whilst not existing by way of their own nature, they exist as mere dependent arisings. That's what I just said in the previous segment. So now let's turn explicitly to the text and look at the first line. Appearance eliminates the extreme of existence. So the word appearance refers to dependent arising, because what appears to us has arisen dependently. So this first line, on the surface, appears to contradict what I've just said. Because here, what I said previously, the extreme of existence is eradicated through the realization of emptiness. But what Lama Tsongkhapa has written here is that dependent arising eliminates the extreme of existence. So how are these then not contradictory? Well, what Lama Tsongkhapa has written here is a unique view of Prasangika. So to understand what I've just said and what Lama Tsongkhapa has written, how they are not contradictory, recall what we looked at in yesterday afternoon session. So when one realizes subtle dependent arising, that phenomena only exist as imputations by mind, immediately that realization induces the realization of emptiness. So in this way, the extreme of existence is eradicated by dependent arising, because when one realizes dependent arising, subtle dependent arising, immediately that consciousness induces the realization of emptiness. So this is how my two explanations sit together.
Similarly,
with the second line, so I mentioned a couple of segments before that the middle way proponent will eradicate the extreme of non-existence through reflecting on dependent arising and recognize that phenomena are not completely non-existent. They exist merely as dependent arisings. So here in the second line, emptiness eliminates the extreme of non-existence. So here Jerem Pache is explicitly saying that emptiness eliminates the extreme of non-existence. So again, this seems contradictory to what I said earlier, but we come to see that it's not contradictory but complementary when we bear in mind what we looked at yesterday afternoon, which is, when the middle way proponent realizes emptiness, realizes that phenomena are empty of being established by way of their own essence, through the power of that realization of emptiness, the realization of dependent arising arises, or is realized. Dependent arising too is realized. Well, this is the same as in the previous line, in that through one realization, through the power of one realization, whether dependence arising in the first line or emptiness in the second line, the other realization of emptiness is induced. And that we see too in both lines, and here in the second line, through the power of the realization of emptiness, dependence arising is realized. Looking at the third line, when you understand the manner in which causes and effects arise from within emptiness. So here the meditator will have reflected repeatedly over a sustained period on emptiness and dependence arising. And now they come to generate a valid cognizer, a mind without doubt, to complete certainty, powerful realization. That all phenomena, when one investigates, we recognize that despite appearing to exist by way of their own essence, they are empty of existing by way of their own essence. But that does not mean they are non-existent, rather they are dependent, dependent on causes or mutually dependent, or dependent on imputation by mind. For example, any object or form, something we see, something we hear, and so forth, it appears to us as being truly existent. But when we investigate, we see it is empty of true existence, but it is not non-existent, it is dependent on causes and imputation by mind. Here, one realizes with a valid cognizer that form, the object one is investigating, is both empty of inherent existence and dependence on causes and imputation by mind. So here, one has two realizations, one inducing the other, and these are valid cognizers, and one has now come to realize the middle way path. This applies to all phenomena, whether momentarily changing, impermanent, or not changing at all, permanent. Whether it's something, an impermanent phenomenon that of form or consciousness, or a non-associated composite such as the self. Any phenomenon, despite appearing as being established by way of its own essence, is empty of being so. Therefore, emptiness is realized. But it doesn't mean it's non-existent. It exists as a mere dependence arising, such as dependence on imputation by mind. And this is every phenomenon, everything we make that comes to mind, every object of thought. All phenomena, without exception, are empty of inherent existence. This way, one realizes the ultimate way the phenomena abides, but it doesn't mean they're non-existent. They exist dependently. They are dependent arisings. Now we realize the conventional way phenomena abide. In this way, the two truths, ultimate truth and conventional truth, are realized without contradiction in relation to a single object, a single basis. In the final line in the 13th verse, you will no longer be robbed by the views of grasping at extremes. So just like if one has a strong wish to go somewhere, one wants to go to a distant destination, or wanting a lovely, relaxed holiday, then on your way to the airport, your ticket gets stolen. You have been robbed of your ticket, and therefore robbed of the possibility of arriving at your destination. And in such a case, no matter how strong your desire is to arrive at that destination, to have that relaxing holiday, because one has been robbed of one's ticket, one cannot arrive there. Similarly, should a practitioner, through accepting a faulty philosophical tenet, accept either the extreme of existence or non-existence, through grasping at either of those extremes, they will not be able to cultivate the path that leads to liberation or enlightenment. Grasping at such an extreme is an obstacle to doing so. Whereas if one realizes the view between those two extremes, that middle way view, recognizing that all phenomena, whilst empty of inherent existence, they do exist as dependent arisings. That realization not only eradicates obstacles to achieving that final goal, leads to the attainment of the path that will lead to the attainment of that final goal. That completes the presentation of the three principal aspects of the path. All three we've looked at in a similar way. Definite emergence, bodhicitta, and now the correct view, we've looked at in terms of why the need to cultivate them, the method for cultivating them, and the mark of having gained that realization of definite emergence, bodhicitta, and emptiness. And all three of these are indispensable for the attainment of Buddhahood. All three have to be cultivated. Now we've completed that presentation.
So we've looked at all three principal aspects of the path, definite emergence, bodhicitta, and emptiness, in terms of the why it's crucial to cultivate these minds, the how to do so, the method, and then how do you know the mark or the sign of when you have successfully cultivated. So now we'll look at, in brief, how to train in these, both as beginners, whilst we have attained our path, and at the end of our training. So the beginning, middle, and end of our training. When in this way you realize precisely the essential points of the three principal aspects of the path, rely on solitude and generating the power of joyful perseverance, quickly accomplish your final goal, my child. When in this way you realize precisely, this then refers to come to the point where one realizes the three principal aspects of the path precisely, requires one to rely on your spiritual teacher. Because without relying on your spiritual teacher, it will be impossible to realize the three principal aspects of the path. Because without relying on one's spiritual teacher, one will not know why it is essential that we cultivate Depth Emergence, Bodhicitta, and the correct view. Not knowing why it's crucial, we'll make no effort to do so. Moreover, we won't know how to cultivate the three principal aspects if we don't rely on our spiritual teacher. And without knowing the why and the how, which only comes about through relying on one's teacher, one will never attain realization of these three. Furthermore, the essential points of the three principal aspects of the path, and that is, in, as has been outlined previously, having given rise to the wish to gain realization of the three principal aspects, as well as knowing the method, and the sign of having done so, one then can embark on the journey to realize those essential points that mark the attainment of each realization.
And
To give rise to the three principal aspects of the path, to generate them within one's continuum. First, one has to rely on one's teacher, which means hear teachings. Hear teachings, not just once or twice, but many times on the same and new topics. Moreover, whilst receiving the teachings, whilst engaged in the process of gathering knowledge, one needs to reflect on that knowledge. One needs to contemplate on that knowledge. So this is done whilst hearing teachings, and it's done in a daily meditation practice, and in both in meditation, in between sessions, and this is the process of reflection. And this needs to be done repeatedly over a sustained period. Then when one has, based on deep knowledge, certainty and development in terms of one's understanding, one is then ready to engage in actual meditation on the topic. So this way, if you're relying on a teacher and hearing, reflecting, and meditating repeatedly over a sustained period, realization will come. And the preparation is extensive hearing and reflection, and then eventually one is qualified to engage in actual meditation on this topic.
To gain realization, one needs to embark on the journey of hearing, reflecting, and meditating. The preparation for meditation is to hear and reflect. So one hears the teachings from one's spiritual teacher and reflects on those teachings in the way that one is guided by one's teacher. And here, one, amongst many things that one needs to learn, are all the various stages of the meditation. And this is done through the gathering of knowledge and then gaining certainty in that through the reflection. When that is done, then one is ready to engage in actual meditation. So just to say as an aside here, the term meditation is usually used in a general sense and would mean both reflection and meditation. But in the context of hearing, reflecting, and meditating, there is a distinction made between reflection and meditation. So now to return to what Genla said. So when we have this solid foundation of hearing and reflecting, we then are ready to engage in meditation. Here now we come to the third line. Rely on solitude and generating the power of joyful perseverance. So here, the place to engage in actual meditation is isolated, in retreat, away from the busyness of our daily life and the busyness of society, which serves as a great distraction. So one removes oneself, isolates oneself physically and mentally from the busyness of society. Thereafter, to ensure success, one needs to strive with great vigor repeatedly over a sustained period. If one merely does short times in an isolated place, when one is at this level, one will not attain the desired result. So therefore one needs joyous perseverance in order to have the strength of mind and commitment to achieve one's desired goal.
Dupje, やじ、エンバティンで準備、準備とっけね、それ、ユネカズルやユネメバ、あの、サニマドバドゴムジャディオレセディネアチェサマロワ。だからじ、ガジェルソスギミユジ、トンバニルミビシニチュバイナ、トンバニチジドゴムバイナ、トンバニルミビシニディマチュバドゥ。あのこ、全部準備ムディジョゴム。で、シニチュバイナ、やじ、ニャヤンルレジャダ。やじ、ディワ、アンジシャンダトゥヤダ、ディワオシャンジロジェ、パンドチュヤゲ、なんでね、ユングソウラ。じゃ、ディネザ、だで、エンバ準備とっけね、それ、ソスギミユドンダディ、マチュバドチ、やシニチュブシサムタバイナ、ディソスギディネチコ。
In the sequence of reflecting and meditating, one engages in meditation in an isolated place with joyous perseverance in order to take what the object, whether definite emergence, bodhicitta or emptiness, that one has been hearing and reflecting on repeatedly over a sustained period, and develop calm abiding and meditative insight in relation to it. So therefore we see in this context the meaning of meditation is when one is ready, through having gained the foundation based on hearing and reflecting, to develop calm abiding and meditative insight on the object, definite emergence, bodhicitta, or emptiness. That is the purpose of going into an isolated place and meditating on the particular topic. When one has gained calm abiding and special insight on one's object of meditation, that is the point where one can leave retreat, can leave the isolated place, and once again engage with others and being of direct benefit to others. But until one accomplishes the goal of the meditation, in other words, gains realization of definite emergence or bodhicitta or the correct view, one needs to remain in retreat until one gains that realization with calm abiding and meditative insight.
なんでねじなんで、だねでエンバルチャミジャタジュダケラガヤメティケンこれクスムスムチネシルトベネねエンバチャドレイネダディナでエンバシアでセムディハチクパチクデカソレチキンチュギワンソソチアネタムヤンダヨヤダソソケラチャダニングヨヤダでねげサムダジセムディパアンチチュロルパドセキャドベネ ね、エンバディレドゥーで、セムエンバチャーヨーマレ。チザン、セムディペ、ドゥジンマンボイ、バイチ、ザ、マラサムで、セムエンバチャーヨーマレ。チザ、ディネザ、ゴミアコリトゴマ、ね、エンバルドゥーバイネ、セムディドゥジンマチャネ、ツンガナンドゥーバダチバラチチャーデュレ。チザ、ディネザ、エンバシアディ、
It's important to understand the term solitude. So we understand solitude or going into retreat, place of isolation, usually in only one of its two meanings. The outer meaning is that the environment needs to be quiet, one needs to be isolated, and thereby one can abide in solitude. So that refers to the outer environment and is important. But there is a second meaning, which is of even greater importance. And that is, so that's outer isolation, and then there's inner isolation. And inner isolation means free of mental distraction. Doesn't necessarily mean completely free of mental distraction, but it means free of distraction to ordinary worldly affairs or ordinary worldly attitudes. Because one may remove oneself from society and live somewhere isolated, but one's mind may well be back on the affairs of society. For example, what are people saying about me? What all the things I will do after I've spent time in retreat and I have this reputation? So if one is in an isolated place and has attained a place of outer isolation, but not inner isolation, it is one has no hope of attaining freedom from the prison of samsara. One is now just in a audibly quieter prison. That is all. So therefore, it's imperative that independence on one's training and hearing and reflection, one has developed sufficient as meditative skill to not be distracted by worldly affairs. Rely on solitude and generating the power of joyful perseverance. Quickly accomplish your final goal, my child. So here, Jerenpoche is encouraging us to reflect well, to hear many teachings, reflect well on them, and when that foundation is properly established, then to go into an isolated place, and with great vigor, with joyous perseverance, strive to achieve our final goal, and to do so with a mind that is both relaxed, but not overcome at all by laziness. With a relaxed mind, but not overcome by laziness, and thereby with a determination to quickly accomplish one's final goal one will not be overcome by laziness. But this is the advice Jay Rinpoche is giving us. And when he composed this text, he composed it for his direct students. And we can see this expression of closeness in the final line. Quickly accomplish your final goal, my child. So whilst we haven't met Jay Rinpoche directly, having received these and many other teachings, we can be included amongst his objects of love and his direct students. All of you have chosen to use this time in your home to reflect on these three principal aspects of the path. Now, amongst you, there'll be varying degrees of physical isolation, but whatever your circumstances are, you have made the decision to hear these teachings and to reflect on them, and this is something to generate great joy in. And all of us, myself included, need to reflect on definite emergence, bodhicitta, and emptiness. And in order for any of us to actually give rise to these realizations in our mind, to transform our way of thinking, these meditations need to be engaged in repeatedly over a sustained period. So my hope is that the experience you've gained through doing meditation in this retreat, you keep up this practice, you keep up this habit, and continue in a daily practice. Because in this way, through reflecting on definite emergence, bodhicitta, and emptiness, repeatedly over a sustained period, so that, and eventually not just in meditation, but between one sessions too, inner transformation will come. Inner transformation will come. We see from how the text has been concluded here that we should take this text as personal instruction by Lama Tsongkhapa to ourselves. At the start of each session, turn to him, feel his presence before you, and request his inspiration or his blessing that we quickly accomplish the temporary goals, or the intermediate goals rather, the intermediate goals of realizing definite emergence, bodhicitta, and the correct view, and thereby quickly the final goal of enlightenment.
Chasangi,
Due to the marvels of our modern society, despite being physically distant, we really have been closely connected for this period. And moreover, you have provided me with an opportunity to reflect and comment on this text, and you yourselves have had an opportunity to hear and reflect on this text, and thereby, in dependence on each other, we have all accumulated vast stores of merit over these days together.
Now, when you come to dedicate, I request that whilst you're reciting words of dedication, you also, in addition to that, the meaning of the words, hold in mind that may all sentient beings quickly attain freedom from all problems, suffering, and difficulties, both those that are intense as well as those that are slight, whether they come from external sources such as the ongoing pandemic and other forms of illness, or whether they come from internal sources, such as their own mental challenges, conflict arising in their mind, or conflict between peoples, whether between nations or groups of people or individuals. May all of this be overcome. May no more causes be accumulated. May all accumulated causes be eradicated. And furthermore, to bring this about, may ourselves and all sentient beings without exception quickly realize definite emergence, bodhicitta, and the correct view. And lastly, may all the virtuous aspirations of the holy beings, as well as of all of the world, may all these virtuous aspirations and activities be quickly accomplished in accordance with the Dharma. So thank you so much.